number. What number? Privilege. Did you want everybody to be singing?
It's a privilege. They want to sing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Hymns of praise to you now, high exalted, our melody we raise as you receive their praises. Accept the praise we bring, for you delight in goodness, so good and gracious. Well, a vocal prelude, that's an interesting way to start Palm Sunday, right? Okay, a few announcements before we begin. The Quad City Food Shelf sent us another thank you, so I'll pass that thank you on to you. A total now of $245 and what, 3-4 boxes of food, Roger, that you hauled over there? There was a few. Announcement, Pastor Mike Tift from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, just a couple blocks north of us here, is doing great. He and the church are now talking about his returning to the church sometime in May. He's still doing rehab.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, amen. And I have told him twice during the times that we've met together, I consider this a miracle. I was there at the beginning, and I'm just astounded at what's happened in his life. Gives me faith in Jesus for miracles. I will be gone Monday and Tuesday. You can still reach me by my cell phone. Returning on Wednesday, and remember, this is Holy Week. And so what I did, because several of you have asked about services this week, so I pulled out the insert of the Mesabi Daily News of all of the services during Holy Week. So if you're interested in services this week, just touch base with me and you can take a look at it. And I know, I'm old school. We still get the newspaper in paper form. I know that you can go online and find this stuff too. So, okay. One of the most interesting things, because one of you had asked me about, is there an opportunity to attend a Seder service, which would be what we call the Last Supper. And Roger just gave me copy of there will be a living Last Supper, which in my interpretation would be they act out the Last Supper service at in Aurora at, and I don't know the name of it now. I did at one time, but I don't remember. But it's the old Assemblies of God Church. Just outside of Aurora on Thursday night at 7 p.m. The doors open at 6:30. And I'll have that available, too, if you want to take a look at that. Have they? And then they also, not they. There is also a Good Friday healing service this week at True Hope Fellowship in Midway, up on the hill on Midway, on Friday at 6:30. So there's lots of opportunities this week. We have opted not to have any scheduled services this week, so you got the opportunity to attend some of these others and have your faith blessed and also fellowship with fellow believers. An update from Tom Peterson and Jean. I did not speak to them directly, but yesterday I talked with a pastor who has, and the update is that, and some of you know this, Pastor Tom Peterson, who was with us for a couple of years way back when, I don't remember when, after he left here, he did some reinvestigating, reassessing of his life, and what he did is he moved into chaplaincy. Clark Jeffrey has done. He moved into chaplaincy. He found that that was his ministry, and just recently he retired from his chaplaincy profession, and he is now going to be a pastor to pastors out in the Illinois area. So good news for Tom. Pray for his wife, Jean, who has cancer. They have fought it. They got a reprieve for several years. It is now back again. And so if you would pray for Jean and Tom Peterson, it would be appreciated. Also, another interesting thing in my discussion with them is their son, Kyle. They had Kyle and Michelle, if you remember. Their son, Kyle, has advanced in his profession. He is now fourth in power at the U.S. State Department. That is impressive. So success for them. And like I say, continue to pray for them. Just a couple of other announcements. No Sunday school today or next week. The following week, that would be the 27th, we will have our church quarterly business meeting. April 27th. And then, of course, next week is Resurrection Sunday. What we call Easter Sunday, but I like to call Resurrection Sunday. So if you would stand and begin with me, let's responsively read the call to worship, which I pulled out of the New Testament again, because we are at the place where at Palm Sunday some people have found the Messiah. And so from three separate scripture passages. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him,
"We have found the Messiah."
Then Nathanael declared,
"Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel."
And Jesus said, "What about you? Who do you say I am?"
Praise him, praise him.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, all earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor, give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the Crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounding, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
If you would pray with me. Our Lord Jesus, we are here today on what we celebrate to remember the day that You entered Jerusalem and the crowds greeted You. We are just members of that crowd. We are those members who believe. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the King of Israel. And yes, so we praise You, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Jesus, the name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Today's first reading is from Psalm 118, and that's found on Pew Bible page 466. Psalm 118. And we'll be reading the first two verses and then skip down to verses 19 through 29. Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. And then down to verse 19. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give You thanks. For You answered me, You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and He has made His light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And then the second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. And that's found on Pew Bible, page 803. Luke 19 will begin in verse 28 and read through verse 40. This is Luke's version of the triumphal entry. And right before this, he has been sharing with people about the parable of the 10 minas. So that's what it will be referring to. After Jesus had said this, meaning the 10 minas, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage in Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there which has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had said. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep silent, the stones will cry out." May God add his blessing to his word.
Thank you, Bob. Do you believe that if they had kept quiet, even the stones would have cried out? Jesus said it. I believe it. We have an opportunity to present our tithes and offerings to the Lord, and today we will also include giving to Covenant Kids Congo, and that's the little coconut that Barb will be... I was looking at the two of you, wondering which one. We'll be passing around Covenant Kids Congo. I think it speaks for itself, giving to the children over in the area of Congo, which is one of the many ministries that we provide here through First Covenant Church. So, Kathy, if you'd like to come forward, we'll have a word of prayer. We thank you, Father, for the gifts that you give to us. We give from our hearts freely and with love to you, thanking you always through the name of Jesus. Amen.
The Palms. Come ye without the city gate this day, join in the tumult of the festive throng, strewing your palms in welcome on his way. Greet ye the King of Kings with shout and song, Join all and sing His name, declare. Let every voice resound in joyous acclamation. Hosanna! Blessed is He. Bless Him who cometh to bring us salvation. Hail Him who comes to set the captives free. Hail Him who comes eternal life to bring. Savior, Redeemer of the world is He. Ruler of earth and heavens, eternal King. Join all and sing His name, declare. Let every voice resound in joyous acclamation. Hosanna! Blessed is He. Bless Him who cometh to bring us salvation. Come with rejoicing then your Lord to meet. Meet Him with songs of praise and glad acclaim. Bow down in loving worship at His feet, bringing glad homage to His holy name. Join all and sing His name, declare. Let every voice resound in joyous acclamation. Hosanna! Blessed is He. Bless Him who cometh to bring us salvation. Something I grew up singing.
All right. So,
or everybody singing. Okay, stand and sing our doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you. You may be seated. I've never heard that hymn before. We have time for morning prayers today. Are there any prayer requests? Anton.
His oldest brother died of a stroke last year, and now the younger brother, Danny, which is a year older than me, he's in a stroke right now, and he's been in there for 2 weeks. I mean, right now he's in a coma, so that that's where we're at now, to find out.
Okay. Danny.
Danny Henderson.
Okay. Shirley.
Marianne Robinson. She's my friend. A lot of you know her. She's moving, and now she broke her, I think it's her ankle or foot or whatever, something, and she's about halfway done moving.
Is she staying local?
Right now she's still, it happened in the Twin Cities, and she's still there, but she's coming home as soon as, she might end up in the nursing home for a while for rehab.
Yeah, recovery, yeah.
Yeah, because her health is kept. So just some prayer for her and her recovery.
Oh, yeah.
And for what she's going to do about getting help for moving.
Okay.
But,
yeah. Okay. Marianne went with us down to Oaxaca, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other prayer requests? Bob?
Well, we could enumerate many, but maybe just all the unsettledness in the world and all the needs that I'm thinking of. Families from these plane crashes this week. And
oh, yeah.
The people recovering from the horrible earthquake and all the people that have lost their jobs. There's a lot going on.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Linda. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Prayer for my heart.
Okay.
Heart,
okay. All right, thank you. All right, let's celebrate with thanksgiving and pray. Our Lord Jesus, we're here today because we need you. You told us that without you, we can do nothing. We need you. And so we come to you. We ask that you'd accept the faith that we have, little or great, and respond to us with your great faith and your great love that is so way beyond ours. And we thank you that you will do that. We're just a little crowd in the midst of a great world, but we're a little crowd who has come to find you and your help for our lives. So, Lord Jesus, we would start with the world, which you told us would always be in turmoil. And so we know that it will continue to be in turmoil. So our prayers, our requests are for the people caught up in all this turmoil. Loss of jobs, the layoffs locally on the range. But I'm sure there's loss of jobs all over. And for those people, help them, assist them to find you, and also to take care of their daily needs and their finances. We also pray, Lord Jesus, for the world's inner turmoil. You are the Prince of Peace. And so we ask that you would bring peace to the hearts of people who are in turmoil, whether personal, governmental, emotional, financial, physical, whatever it is. Bring people peace, particularly as they seek you as the Prince of Peace. We would ask, Lord Jesus, that you'd reach out and touch Linda and heal her heart, that you would keep her heart pumping regularly and effectively. Give the doctors wisdom as she consults with them. We will thank you for that. We pray for Tom's wife, Jean, that you would be with her particularly and deeply during her physical struggles with cancer. We would be so bold as to ask, Lord Jesus, that you would heal her of her cancer. We know that she trusts you and that she will carry through whatever your will is until the day that she sees you. And that gives us hope and encouragement. We give our love, send our love to Tom and Jean out in Illinois, and thank you for their time with us and for the ministry that you brought to him and the ministry that you have now called him to. Lord Jesus, I particularly thank you for that ministry because pastors need a pastor. We ask that you'd be with Danny Henderson and that you would bring him out of the results of this stroke, restoring him to health, giving the doctors wisdom so that they can provide some solutions that it won't happen again, that he can have ways of returning to normal life. We thank you for healing Marianne's foot, and we ask that you help her to continue to heal. We know that she rejoices in you. We are so thankful for her joyful spirit. We ask you that you would help her with the move that she's considering, and that you would just be a constant source of peace and presence in her life. And for all of these folks, I want to thank you, Lord, for Christian brothers and sisters who come alongside of these people, including the people that are out in the world and in need. There are your people who can come alongside and help them and bless them and encourage them in every way. I want to thank you for the body of Christ everywhere. As we go into Holy Week, we together, this small group of believers on this Palm Sunday, would ask for all of the services that are being conducted during this week on the Iron Range, that you would touch the hearts of people, helping them to find you, Jesus, who is the restorer of our hearts, the restorer of our lives, the King of glory and our special friend. Help people this week in all of these services to find a relationship with you. Even today, during our service, help us to find a new, enhanced relationship with you. Jesus, the King of glory, we celebrate you today and we honor you. Praise him. Praise him. We do. We praise you. We praise you. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Turn to 527. We're going to sing the Tell Me the Old, Old Story, but with a tropics vibe. 527. Found this arrangement, it's pretty cool.
Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply, as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin.
me the story often, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Tell me the story softly with earnest tones and grave. Remember I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always, if you would really be in any kind of trouble a comforter to me. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Tell me the same old story when you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Yes, when the world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old, old story. Christ Jesus makes you whole. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and His
love. Thank you, Jeffrey. I pull out the little stool because the kingdom of God is made up of short people and tall people. And every one of us here. Jesus loves you. I hope you know that. If you're not sure, catch me after the service and we can talk about it. But this is the truth. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves the people that we prayed for. And I was reminded as we sang that song, we have one more group of people to pray for. And so if you would pray with me. Lord, I forgot. So many of us sitting here have lost people we love. Help us to grow our faith. Help us to recover from those losses, the pain, and help us to remember the good things and to thank you and praise you for those brief moments of life where people have crossed our paths, either through our families or friendships or whatever situation. Help us to remember how they have blessed us and the opportunities that we had to bless them. That time with them is done, they've gone on, but our memories can continue with thankfulness to you for your goodness. We thank you for that, Jesus, and we thank you for your help. In your name, amen. Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. I'll start with Matthew 4, verses 23 through 25. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. This morning we celebrate Palm Sunday as a reminder for that day when Jesus on the Mount of Olives entered into Jerusalem. This is the first time in his ministry that the crowds had come together greeting a king or greeting someone they expected to be a king. Crowds had gathered around him for teaching. Now these people had heard a rumor that he was going to be entering Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Those of us who live in America and watch TV westerns, it probably doesn't mean much. We would think he should ride in on a horse, right? Well, they didn't have much of that back then. The significance of this, as you've probably heard in Palm Sunday sermons throughout all the years, is that riding into a town on a donkey was an announcement of being a king. And so we probably can't sense the emotions of the people in that crowd on Palm Sunday, because it just isn't the same to us. If somebody came riding into Virginia on a donkey, wouldn't mean anything except, well, that's a little peculiar. Or like this last week, I don't know if you read it, there were some guys who rode through a store on horses and subsequently got arrested. So we probably can't get a sense of the kingliness of this event. And so what I want to do this morning is give you a sense of why these people were gathered together, which is why I read from Matthew to begin with. We know that Jesus healed hearts of people. We know that Jesus heals hearts of people today. We know that the most important ministry of Jesus is salvation. He wants to reach us. He wants us in a relationship with him. He wants us to have a relationship with his Father, God, who is our Father. But that is not why the crowd gathered. The crowd gathered because of the miracles he did. The keynote of Jesus' ministry in the area of Judea that we read from Matthew were his miracles. Let me highlight a few. We know about Nazareth, where he tried to do miracles, his hometown, and they just booted him out. In fact, the crowd disliked him so much that they took him out to a hill and were going to throw him off the hill to kill him. That's early in his ministry, recorded in Luke chapter 4. Going on in Luke chapter 7, he raises a dead son who is being carried out of the city because he was going to be buried. In Matthew 8, he heals a man with leprosy. After the Sermon on the Mount, he came down the hill, met a centurion whose servant was sick. And you know that story. Jesus said to him, "Should I come and heal him?" And the centurion says, "No, you don't need to go anywhere. Just say the word." His servant was healed. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. In Matthew chapter 8, it says this, "Many were brought to him that were demon-possessed, and all of them were healed." It goes on to say in that same passage that all were healed of their illnesses and sicknesses, fulfilling, according to Matthew 8, fulfilling Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. In Matthew 8, Jesus calms the storm. And in Matthew 8, verse 27, this is the commentary. "The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" In Matthew chapter 8, by the way, Matthew chapter 8 is the best chapter in all of the Gospels, recounting miracles that Jesus performed. Apparently Matthew, being a Jew, was very interested in documenting those miracles. Remember the demoniac, the person who was filled with a legion of demons in the area of the Gadarenes. Remember the story of how Jesus sent those evil spirits into that flock of pigs. Is that what you call a group of pigs? A flock?
It's a
herd. Herd. Thank you. Herd of pigs. And they ran down the hill and all drowned. And those owners were out of a job. They lost their entire investment. And you think, boy, that wasn't very nice of Jesus to do that. Just a reminder, it wasn't Jesus that did it. It was the demons that took those pigs over. A paralyzed man, he was healed. But the first thing Jesus did was not to heal him, but to say to him, "Your sins are forgiven. And now I'll heal you." Synagogue leader's daughter had died. She was raised from the dead, and the news spread all over. Continuing in Matthew chapter 9, a woman touched Jesus' cloak, and she was healed. Right after that, two blind men, blind, received their sight back. A miracle. We have never heard of anyone who does stuff like this. John the Baptist doubted. like we all do when it comes to talking about healing, whether it's spiritual healing or physical healing or emotional healing. We're like John the Baptist. We have our own doubts. And in Matthew chapter 11, I'll read verses 4 through 6. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." A man with a withered hand was healed. And as we're following the chronology in Luke, the Pharisees begin to plot the murder of Jesus. Continuing on in Matthew chapter 12, a large crowd, and the scripture says he healed all of them, fulfilling Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4. And then, of course, we know the story of feeding the 5,000, which was probably a crowd of more like 10,000, because the scriptures said he fed a crowd of 5,000 men, and yet we know that there were women and children in the crowd as well. You know the story just a few chapter verses later. Jesus fed a crowd of 4,000, which was probably actually a crowd of 8,000. In Matthew chapter 17, he delivers a son who was demon-possessed and kept throwing himself into fire and rocks, trying to kill himself. In Matthew chapter 20, again, he heals two blind men. Again. And this is the incident where the disciples tried to get these two blind men not to come to Jesus to be healed. And you know the story of the children, where the disciples were trying to prevent the children from coming to Jesus. And Jesus took over and said, "No, get out of the way. Let the kids come." And then, of course, Jesus walks on water. Walks on water. These are real incidents. And he helped Peter to do a little walking on water as well. He heals blind Bartimaeus. The Gospel of John records the bookends to Jesus' healing ministry and ministry of miracles. In John chapter 2 is recorded the first miracle of Jesus turning water into wine. And in John chapter 11 is recorded his last miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. The people in Jerusalem were greeting Jesus coming down from the Mount of Olives because of all these things he had done. All of the miracles. That's what gave them the emotional high that was leading them to greet him, cheer him, throw palm branches into his path, take their coats off and throw them on the road as he came in. I'll call it an emotional high, a crowd. Like the Vikings winning the Super Bowl, if that ever happens. We we would be cheering, wouldn't we? Well, those of you who are Packer fans, you would be cheering when the Packers win the Super Bowl. It's an emotional surge. And it doesn't mean that we're going to believe in the Vikings and the Packers to save us, to bring us to heaven. No, it's an emotional surge. That's what Palm Sunday was. Jesus' ministry of healing and miracles, delivering people, raising people from the dead, was not an occasional ministry. It was 3.5 years of solid healing, deliverance, and miracles. That's what was impressing the Jewish people that day. In fact, miracles were the hallmark of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus' response or explanation for this was, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only do what I see my Father doing. This is the Father. Our Father God wants to heal us emotionally, spiritually, physically. God is overwhelmingly so good. And in Jesus' ministry, there were no exceptions. Every sickness, every disease, every situation was healed. And all the people had to do, and I know if you're with me at this point, you're saying the next words that Mike is going to say is believe. No. All they had to do was come to Jesus, and he healed them. Are you getting a sense for the crowd? They, some of them, had received miracles. It doesn't mean that they believed in Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. They had received miracles. Others in the crowd had heard of the miracles. Others in the crowd had friends, relatives, who had received a miracle. And so what we have on the day of Palm Sunday is kind of what we have politically in the United States today, a split right down the middle, 50-50. A group of people who believed in Jesus and a group of people who believed about Jesus. That's the split that we stand facing today. Do I believe about Jesus for all that he did? Do I believe this book and all that it contains? I do. That's not the question of salvation. Do I believe the Old Testament prophets? I do. That's not the question of salvation. The question of salvation is, do I believe in him? Or to put it a little bit more personally, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Not because I get all the answers. Not because all the things I have seen. I love you because of who you are. You are love. You are patience. You are faithfulness. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Glory. Miracles don't translate into saving faith, because in just a few days, people from this very crowd are going to be cheering Jesus to his crucifixion. Others will believe despite his crucifixion. This morning I have a challenge for you, actually two challenges. For those of you who are believers, for those of us who are believers, the challenge is secure your faith for the next 8 days, because it's going to be rough. Referring, of course, to Holy Week. Secure our faith. Get through the next few days, because a week from now, you know what we get. We get the good news of the resurrection. For those who are here who may not have secured your faith, I would ask today, reach out to Jesus. Secure your faith. I know. I've been there. It's iffy. You wonder, but I can tell you this. I've experienced it myself, and I've prayed with so many through the years who've experienced it. Reach out to Jesus. You're going to feel a peace, a love, a strength, a joy. When you connect with him and he connects with you, you are going to feel his presence. His book promises that. So would you pray with me? We're all in the same boat, Jesus. We just need you. You know everyone in this group here today. You know our need. So we're just going to simply do this, Jesus. We're just going to simply reach out to you. Our little faith, our big faith, whatever it is that we have, we're just going to reach out to you. You are the King of Glory. Touch our lives in our great need that we have right now today. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amazing love, thou can it be? died for me.
Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, His mercy all immense and free. Thou, O my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flay with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living am, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?
You and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you.